Blog Talk Radio.
Do need devotion, I don't, and the evidence doesn't lie by the looks of it. My name is Yamsupa Arif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People Show. A show that is designed just like those medical examiners in the case of George Floyd. Now, in our case, our examination, Not only do we examine dead people, we examine the lives of live people in correlation to their relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And why do we do these examinations? They are pertinent to one's spiritual survival and, some cases, physical survival. Yes, we do medical examinations on the Real Talk for Real People Talk. And we examine, as I said, dead people and their relationship. And we examine the lives of live people and correlate that relationship with Yah. And there are clear evidence, clear signs as to how you are connected with Yah. There are clear signs by virtue of evidence in your lives that you're connected to Yah. There are clear signs in the death of those that were connected with Yah based upon our studies in these texts. And I'm not going to say very much about contemporary subject matters tonight other than the fact, as far as Brother Floyd is concerned, it seems that the prosecutors about the rest of the case. They had the medical examiners there and so on and so forth. And they made it clear cut. The police restraint and subdual of Brother George Floyd was cause and effect of his death. It may not have been a contributory cause, but it was a primary cause. And what do I mean by that? Everything else wouldn't have happened if the police wouldn't have done what they did. Now, perhaps it would have happened sometime down the road as far as his heart and as far as things related to his drug addiction, it perhaps would have happened sometime down the road if he continued on in that pursuit of life. But nevertheless, it may not have affected him because he had a high tolerance for the drugs he was using. And we see these people quite often in our communities. You see them every day walking up and down the street with drug addictions. And they seem to be doing rather well with all kind of physical ailments. But the difference is three police was not on top of people walking up and down the street. As in the case of Mr. Floyd, three police officers restraining him, restricting him, keeping him rigid so he couldn't gather any breath. His left lung seemed to be collapsed, so he was trying to take in air with his right lungs, and they were further restricting him, which caused everything else to shut down. Now, even a four-year-old could understand that. Now, perhaps you could understand that. Perhaps you don't have the smart mind of a four-year-old. But nevertheless, it's cause and effect. So let us get started in our studies. May the Most High bless you for attending this study session, because believe you me, and our examination of dead people, brothers and sisters of days gone by, and our examination of live people in regards to us, in regards to some of us that say they are us, in regards to people just righteous. There's some righteous people that are not even Hebrew. They're righteous. And correlate that with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But it takes intense focus and determination to get to the bottom of the truth, okay? So before we get started in our studies, let me bring my friend and brother on from New York City, Carter Hill. May the Most High bless you. Shalom. Your mic is hot.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Shalom, Brother Yam Sufari. May the Most High bless you and your family.
May he bless your family also, Brother Carter Hill. Shalom. May he bless you also.
Yes, I appreciate that.
Thank you, brother. And may he bless our fellow students, Katria.
Oh, no doubt. Mm-hmm. May blessings go around. We bless the Most High Yah, because we can bless him with our words, too.
Yes, we certainly can.
So in regards to our brother George Floyd, it's like they bring in these experts and scientists that can break it down. Mm-hmm. But the Most High says by two witnesses shall be judged. And we see the people out there that was out there. You're talking about the rowdy crowd who were pleading for the brother's life.
Right.
They were begging the officer to get his knee off the man's neck.
Exactly.
Because logic, common sense will tell you, if you got your knee on somebody's neck, what
right.
is that knee going to do? It's going to kill him.
Right.
You don't need scientists with PhDs behind a, you know, name and all that kind of foolishness. You need eyewitnesses. This man had his knee on a brother's neck, and they watched the officers knock this man's life out right before their eyes.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, there was a little 9-year-old girl there witnessing the whole thing.
Right. And I, and you know what? I remember her statement on the stand. She said, "I was sad and mad." That was
yes.
that will haunt me for a long time, Crotcher. I was sad and mad.
A 9-year-old. And give praise to Yah that He gives us sons and daughters, so that we can be fruitful and multiply. And I'm giving thanks tonight early because my daughter, she's having a baby.
Oh.
She's like 2 months pregnant, so. About to be an extended grandfather. So
okay, how are your daughter, Cardrell?
My daughter is about to be 40. She's 39.
I mean, she waited like me, Cardrell. You know, I didn't start having babies till I was 39. Mm-hmm.
It's different for a man than it is for a woman. Come
yeah,
on, man.
No. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But my prayer that she has a healthy baby, that she comes out healthy in it, because y'all is good to my family, and I pray that he continues to be good to my family.
And I pray also that the Most High bless your daughter, that she have a healthy child, and she have a relatively easy recovery from having that baby, okay?
No doubt, no doubt. But okay. I want to talk about current events.
Okay.
Because we heard that Prince Philip of England.
Yeah, I heard about that.
99 years old, he died.
Uh-huh, I heard about that.
I got a question, though.
Well, it didn't have much of bearing an impact upon me, but I will ask you a question if I can.
How are you a prince and you married to the queen?
And that's kind of strange. Well, I mean,
How the freak? This guy been married to a queen for 70 some odd years.
Right.
And you're still a prince?
Whatever make you king, too.
If I'm married to a queen, I'm definitely king, son.
Right.
I ain't no damn prince.
Well, you know, that's the way they got it over there, all twisted all up. So,
when have you ever heard of a king married to a princess?
Never. So, but never. Like I said, that's the way they got it over there. That's why I say.
Oh, but you know, that's what they throw at us. You know, Queen Elizabeth married to Prince Philip.
Right.
It don't even register because we ain't got common sense. How is
right.
a queen married to a freaking prince?
That's why I say, Patrick, it had no bearing or impact upon me. Okay.
My prayers go out to the people of St. Vincent, where the Most High just let loose a volcano.
St. Vincent.
On the island of St. Vincent in the Caribbean.
Oh,
the majority of our people live.
Oh, Lord.
And guess what?
What's that?
They got ships off the shore, right?
Right.
Rescue ships.
Right.
But you know what they're telling people?
What?
Unless you've been vaccinated, you can't get on the ship.
Oh, what a love that country was to love.
Y'all cursed those people that were bought our people getting off an island that's on fire because they haven't taken the vaccine.
Where's the love you said was mine, oh mine, to the end of time? Where's the love? Where's
I
want
to give a shout out to our brother DMX who passed. You know, we talked about him having brain damage.
Exactly.
But 50 years old, young man, young brother, 50 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. What is wrong? A 50-year-old
well,
dying, man.
Well, you know, I've had my problem with alcohol and drug addictions. And, yep. and if you don't get some Yah in your life, bro, it is a very hard thing to overcome. That's why they get us on it.
And the fact that they have a lot of our young brothers striving to be rich and famous, like our
right.
brother DMX,
right.
showed being rich and famous ain't everything.
No, it ain't. It ain't. It ain't. It ain't all what it's cut out to be, because
that's right.
Money don't buy you love, and it certainly doesn't buy you happiness. Okay.
And through our studies, mm-hmm. we don't need riches. Wisdom is better than riches. Had our brother DMX had wisdom,
yep.
he'd still be alive today.
Yeah, he could have connected with Yah, and he could have overcome those drug and alcohol addictions too. Believe you me, take an ex-food's advice, yum soup, no, from experience and our observation. Okay?
So again,
mm-hmm.
You're talking about our people. You spoke about our people.
Right.
Our people are dead and in a coma.
Right.
And what they did to our brother George Floyd was torture. They said they had bruises from the handcuffs.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been handcuffed before.
Yep.
And there's some police officers that will tighten them handcuffs on you to where you have pain.
I have worn those bracelets quite often. So I know.
And many brothers can relate to them handcuffs being too tight.
Yeah.
And they put them joints on you. And I have experience. I ain't no criminal. I ain't no drug dealer. I ain't no gangbanger, but because I'm Israel, I've been arrested in New York City.
Right.
Trust me.
You know, all praises to the Most High, and I like to bless his holy name. Contrary, I was a bad guy. And I'm going to say this. In all my interactions with the police, being an ex-bad guy, I can never recall, and I'm trying to go through my mind's eye and recall ever being put in a prone position and left there with three police officers on me. I cannot recall it. And I assure you, I had more interactions with the police more so than Brother George Floyd. Okay? But I can never recall them doing me like that. And, you know,
and that's why you're alive today.
Exactly.
If I had done that to you,
you
would be talking on this Blog Talk, Real Talk for Real People radio show right now.
And that's why I said all praises to Yah, because Yom Suf was a crash dummy, okay? And see, crash dummies crash. Fortunately, to the God for Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub saw something in me that Yom Suf didn't even see in himself. And so all praises to Yah.
I'm going to tell you this, Yom Suf.
Go ahead.
So we're reading about the history of our ancient fathers, right?
Exactly.
And how they took over the land of Canaan.
Right.
And how the fear of Yah was mm-hmm. upon the people that we were dealing with because of us.
Right.
And that same fear of us is in the people that we're dealing with. Because you're talking about unarmed brothers that the police are afraid of. That same fear is in them that was in the people in ancient time that was dealing with us.
Well, I
so you armed to the teeth. You armed to the teeth.
Right.
Yet you still have that fear of an unarmed brother. And you talk about all these medical conditions that George Floyd had. He got he got high blood pressure. He got he's on drugs. So he's not at his full strength.
No.
Yeah, he's 6'4", but he's damaged.
Right.
And how do you handle damaged property? You trying to handle this man like he's a healthy 21-year-old.
Right.
But he's in his 40s. And he has problems physically, mentally, and physically. But you didn't take that into consideration because all you're looking at is outside. He's 6'4", 6'3", and he weighs 200-something pounds. And you're not taking his health into consideration. Yeah, you could bring up his heart, his drug abuse, but for you to be a first responder and a peace officer, you have to assess everything, don't you?
Yeah, they are peace officers, Cartier. Piece of your ass, okay? That's what they are, okay? Let's be frank about that, okay?
You give thanks to the Most High that, you know, if you can see the truth is there.
Exactly.
Experts are saying and telling you what you saw is real.
Mm-hmm.
Police officers killed this man. And
how
his defense attorney tried to spin it, whether it's overdose of drug, how much, you know, drugs he had in his system, you know, what was his heart condition. That wasn't really a factor
because
he didn't need emergency help while he was in that store browsing around and waiting for his cell phone to get fixed. It's right. only when you excited that condition that he was in, and he tried to tell you, I'm claustrophobic.
Right.
I can't fit in that little car because of my condition.
I'm 6 feet and 200. It'd been hard for me to squeeze in that little bitty old car.
And I can't breathe because of my condition.
Come on, man. I couldn't even sit in that car. They had to lay me across the seat, man.
And he cooperated with them. He sat down when he asked them to sit down. He was handcuffed.
He said, let me walk myself in. He said, let me walk myself in. Let me count. And then here come Chauvin. You get your ass in that car. I said, look at this fool. I said, let the man count himself in.
He didn't even give him time to do that.
Man, he runs it like he's Superman. Get your ass in that car. That's how they treat us, Cartrell. That's how they treat us, fellow student. If you don't know, now you know. Cartrell,
most times bringing judgment early, and this he has to wiggle his way out of this situation like a real snake. People around the world are watching this case, and America is really on trial in the way they treat our people.
Right. Okay. Well, all right, Cartrell. We've seemed like we've exhausted that conversation. And just like Prince, whatever his name is, has no impact upon me as far as what they do, really don't have no impact upon us if Yah is with us. So let us get started. Chapter 9 of Samuel, 1 Samuel. Thank you,
Cartrell.
I just
want to shout out DMX. I don't know if I mentioned DMX.
Yeah, you mentioned him. You mentioned him.
Yeah. He a young prince. He ain't married to no queen.
Right.
But we can see that a lot of our young brothers want to walk that path. And we can see that it's not necessarily a good path.
No, it's not. That lifestyle. Fast and furious. All right, chapter 9. And believe you, take an ex-fool's advice. Yum Soup been on that fast and furious highway to nowhere. Okay, see, the Most High bless us in this study session. Let's do some examination, okay? And after we've done our examination, let's do some connecting and then do some applying, okay? There was a man of Benjamin, whose name was Kish, son of Abiel, son of Zeor, son of Bikura, son of Ephah. A Benjamite, a man of substance, he had means. He had a son whose name was Saul. You know, Saul came from the Benjamite tribe. An excellent young man. No one among the Israelites were handsome. He was a good-looking fellow. And he was a head taller than any other people. He was a tall fellow, something like George Floyd. You know, and he stood above the people. But Most High don't deal with the physical. We deal in the physical. But the Most High doesn't deal with the physical. He deals with what's in you, the heart and the mind and the spirit of a man or woman. But we look on the outside. But on the outside, he was a rather handsome, tall fellow like George Floyd, Brother Floyd. Once the asses of Saul's father, Kish went astray, his donkeys. And Kish said to his son, Saul, take along one of the servants and go out and look for the jackasses, the mules. He passed into the hill country of Ephraim. He crossed the district of Shalishah. But they did not find him. They passed through the district of Shalim, but they were not there. They traversed the entire territory of the land of the Benjamins. Still, they did not find him. When they reached the district of Suf, like Yom Suf, but this Zuf, not like Suf, my middle name, is Zuf. Saul said to the servant who was with him, let us turn back, or my father will stop worrying about the mules, the jackasses, and begin worrying about us. But he replied, there's a man of Yah in that town, and the man is highly esteemed. Everything, because he's a prophet, that he says come true. Let us go there. Perhaps he will tell us about the errand on which we are set out. But if we go, Saul said to his servant, what can we bring the man, you know, to get this information, so to speak? For the food in our bag is all gone. There's nothing we can bring to the man of Yah at the present. What have we got? The servant answers Saul. A man of Yah is present. He says, there's nothing we can bring the man of Yah as a present. What have we got? He's asking his servant. The servant answers Saul again. Oh, I happen to have a quarter shekel of silver. I got a little bit of something. I can give that to the man, and he will tell us about our errand, about finding these jackasses. Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of Yah, he would say, come, let us go to the seer, the prophet. Man went to inquire of Yah, he would say, come, let us go to the seer. For the prophet of today, what we call a prophet of today was formerly called a seer. They could see things. Saul said to his servant, good idea. Let us go. And they went to the town where the man of Yah lived. As they were climbing, the axe said, you had to climb up into the town. The men, they met some girls coming out to draw water, and they asked them, is the seer in town, the prophet? Yes, they replied, he's up there ahead of you. Hurry, for he has just come to town. People have a sacrifice at the shrine today. As soon as you enter the town, you will find him before he goes up to the shrine to eat. The people will not eat until he comes, for he must first bless the sacrifice, and only then will the guests eat. Go up at once, and you will find him right away. So they went up to the town, and as they were entering the town, Samuel, the prophet, the seer, came out toward them on his way to the shrine. Now, the day before Saul came, Yah had already revealed the falling to Samuel. He knew what was going on, for Saul knew what he was going to do. At this time tomorrow, I will send a man to you from the territory of the Benjamins, the Benjamites, the baby tribe. You shall anoint him ruler of my people, Israel. He will deliver my people from the hands of the Philistines. I have taken note of my people. Their outcry has come to me that they want a king, so I'm going to give them one. As soon as Samuel saw Saul, Yah declared to him, not Samuel took it upon himself, his own liberties or presumption. Yah declared to him, this is the man that I told you would govern my people. Saul approached Samuel, unbeknownst to what was going on between Samuel and Yah, inside the gate and said to him, tell me, please, where's the house of the seer? He didn't know Samuel was the seer, the prophet. Samuel answered Saul, I am the seer, the prophet. Go up ahead of me to the shrine, for you shall eat with me today, and in the morning I will let you go. After telling you whatever you may be on your mind, whatever you got on you. As for your asses, your jackasses, a donkey that strayed 3 days ago, do not even concern yourself about them, for they have been found. And for whom is all Israel yearning? If not for you, Israel is yearning for you, but he didn't understand it at the time, and all your ancestral house. Saul replied, but I'm only a Benjamite. I'm the baby tribe. I come from the baby tribe, the smallest tribe of Israel. My clan is the least of all the clans of the tribe, of the 12 tribes. And not only that, within the tribe of Benjamite, my ancestor house is the smallest one, even within the smallest tribe. Why do you say such a thing to me? Samuel told Saul and his servants, took Saul and his servants and brought them into the hall, and gave them a place at the head of the guests, who numbered about 30. Samuel said to the cook, bring the portion which I gave you and told you to set aside. The cook lifted up the thigh and what was on it and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, what has been reserved is set before you. It's already been reserved. Not only that food in the physical element, but his kingship in the physical element, designated by Yah. Eat. It has been kept for you for this occasion. When I said I was inviting the people, when I said I was inviting the people. So Saul ate with Samuel, the prophet, that day, and they descended from the shrine to the town. And Samuel talked with Saul on the roof. They had a man-to-man, umano, or actually elder to young fellow. Early at the break of day, Samuel called to Saul on the roof. He said, "Get up, I will see you off." Saul arose and the two of them, Samuel and he, went outside. As they were walking toward the end of town, Samuel said to Saul, "Tell the servant to walk ahead of us." And he walked ahead. "But you stop here for a moment. I will make known to you the word of Yah." Not his own word, not his own opinion, not leading to his own understanding, not his own perception, ideal is what was going on. He had instructions to give to young Saul. He knew this before Saul, soon to be King Saul. "And I will give King Saul his due as our first king of Israel." But that being said, it didn't work out too well for him. But you will find this further along. And I said, because sometimes we choose men or women based upon their outward appearance. We may say, "Oh, she's so fine. Ooh, she's so fine. Ain't got a lick of sense in her head." Oh, on the other she may say, "Oh, he built up straight. He like Hercules. He like Hercules." And not have a lick of sense in his head. So as I said, y'all don't look on the outside. Y'all looks in the inside. And my suggestion to you, stop looking on the outside of people. Start looking on the inside of people. What's in them? And based upon that, what are their actions? Are their actions righteous or unrighteous? Not on the outside, because you can get shook up by a big button smile. If you're a woman, all of them muscles and tattoos, not a tattered sense in their head. So that being said, I'm going to hand the mic off to Cartrell. Cartrell, what is your commentary, my brother?
My commentary is that we can learn a lot from this chapter in that the people asked for a king, right?
Exactly.
It wasn't our brother Samuel who was looking to be a king of Israel, was he?
No, he wasn't.
And matter of fact, he asked the question, "Why are you choosing me? I'm the least of the tribe. We the baby tribe. Why are you looking at me?" So he wasn't king, our first king Saul.
Right.
Was King out Saul. Looking for his father's mules.
Right.
He wasn't looking for the kingship of Israel, was he?
No, he wasn't.
But the fact that the pressure was on the nation because the elders came forth, the people came forth, they begging for a king.
Right.
So Yahshua, I got a king for you.
Right.
And the irony of it is that he chose the tribe that almost was destroyed based on what we read in the Judges, right?
Exactly.
Because there was only 600 Benjamite men left.
Exactly.
After the incident that we read about that had happened when the nation was about to, and they said they made a vow that we're not going to give the Benjamites our wives, nah. And they realized they made a mistake. And they figured out a way to allow these 600 Benjamite men left to gain wives of the children of Israel, right?
Right. So the tribe can recover.
That's right. So now the tribe is recovering, and you asking for the king at the same time, and Yah said, "Okay, I'm going to put the tribe that's recovering to rule over you." How ironic is that? And he wasn't looking for the position. You asked for a king, and I'm going to give you a king from the least of your tribes. And our brother King Saul started out right.
He did.
He wasn't looking for the job.
Uh-uh.
Matter of fact, he didn't even want the job.
He really
did. The fact that our people wanted him to be in that position, people electing their king, unfortunately, he was put in that position.
Exactly.
Why was he put in that position? Because that's what Israel wanted. Somebody that looked good, somebody that was tall. He was the tallest Israelite. He's handsome. That's what you're looking for. You're not looking for the Most High God. You're looking for some charismatic person, and I'm going to give you what y'all want. So he was the one. And he didn't really want it. He wasn't looking for it. So we may criticize King Saul and how he reigned as king, but I say blessings to King Saul because he wasn't looking for that position.
Well, in all fairness, Kaitreal, in all fairness, as you said, King Saul didn't want the position. And King Saul, it was what the people wanted. So King Saul was really ill-prepared for that job. He didn't really want it in the first place.
And what we're going to see as we continue to read is that the people were trying to guide him. The
right.
people were trying to guide our first king. And the fact that they had no knowledge of what our king should do, and the king was leading on their counsel and not Yah's counsel, that's what got us in trouble.
Exactly.
But just the fact that he had the title king, we had judges that led the nation, that led our people astray. Like Gideon, he built an ephod, and what he did was messed up. So now the Most High is upset because he asked for a king, and Yah was our king. And here we have King Saul, who, you know, was innocent. He didn't really want the job, but he was thrust into that position.
Well, yes, he didn't really want a job, Cartier, and the evidence going to prove that he was ill-prepared for the job also. Because one thing, he didn't have his relationship with Yah established. I don't see anything in the first beginning where it mentions of a solidified relationship with Yah. And so, no, he was ill-prepared for the job, okay? I mean,
and he wasn't thinking about that post and
right.
not knowing that he should be connected with Yah, leading
right.
the people, so
right.
you really can't blame him. He wasn't trying to get the job. He got the job. He didn't know how to handle the job, and it
right.
really cost him because he's listening to the people trying to mold him. The people were trying to mold him to be a king like the other nations.
Exactly.
So the king's job was to listen to Yah's counsel through
right.
his prophets, and he had the prophet Samuel there to take counsel from.
Point well made, Cartier. All right, fellow students, let us continue, shall we? Cartier's done with his commentary. I certainly
yes,
am.
Sir.
Thank you, Cartier. So Samuel took a flask of oil. This ain't like no olive oil. This is oil. I guess he had the ingredients for the oil that was the anointing of priests and kings. So they didn't take
and
no olive oil.
And this is important
right.
because people use the word Christ. They use Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Christ means anointed. Messiah
mm-hmm.
means anointed. It doesn't mean
right.
savior or salvation. It means anointed. So
right.
the first king, anointed king, the first Christ or Messiah in Israel is King Saul.
Right. And it goes on to show he took that flask of oil with the proper compounds and poured some on Saul's head as instructed and kissed him and said, Yah herewith anoint you ruler. What did it say? Yah herewith anoints you ruler over his own people. His own people. When
the
you
people
leave,
didn't choose King Saul, did they?
Now, say that again, Cartier.
I said the people didn't elect King Saul.
No, Yah did.
That's right.
Did. And it said, when you leave me today, you will meet two men by the tomb of Rachel. Y'all know who Rachel is, right? Okay. Now, Rachel's tomb
and
was
why
in
is that important? Why is that important?
Well, I'm not quite sure, but Cartier, I'm sure you will explain it to us. Explain it to us.
Who is Rachel's son?
Benjamin was Rachel's son and
okay.
Joseph. Okay. Yeah, you're right, Cartier. Dumb, yum, soup.
So she's seeing her last son.
Uh-huh.
The baby, and people don't think she's seeing it because she's dead, but in the spiritual realm, she's seeing it.
Right.
Her son Benjamin, the first king of Israel.
Right. At the tomb of Rachel, and her tomb was in the territory of a baby tribe. And they will tell you that the jackasses you set out to look for have been found. And as your father has stopped being concerned about the jackasses, the mules, and is worried about you, saying,
hold up, because that's what the prophet Samuel told him, right?
Exactly.
He didn't ask Samuel about the asses.
Mm-mm.
He was just looking for the seer or the
right.
prophet. And the prophet
right.
told him, the asses that you're looking for, he never mentioned it.
Uh-huh.
That must have been mind-blowing. How did the prophet know he was looking for his father's asses?
Right.
Because
and
the prophet told him, the asses you're looking for, don't worry about them. They already
right.
found.
And he said, what shall I do about, and his father said, what shall I do about my son, Kish?
So I said that to say that he should
mm-hmm.
have had confidence in Samuel from the jump.
Bro, when you ain't got your mind right, it's not that quite that easy, Katria. You say it all the time on Foolsbook, by people on Foolsbook, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You shall pass on from there until you come to the Terebinth of Tabor. There you will be met by three men making a pilgrimage to Yah at Bethel. One will be carrying three kids. Another will be carrying three loaves of bread, and the third will be carrying a jar of wine. I mean, give them detailed information. They will greet
you. And he's telling you this mm-hmm. before you get there.
Before you get there. All this detail is just like, like I told you, it's like a medical examination, Katria. They will greet you and offer you two loaves of bread, which you shall accept. After that, you are to go on to the hill of Yah, where the Philistines' perfect resides, his perfect, like his governor. There, as you enter the town, and they were under Philistine control, obviously. A perfect is like a governor. After that, you should go to the hill of Yah, where the Philistine perfects reside, the governors. There, as you enter the town, you will encounter a band of prophets coming down the shrine, preceded by lyres, timbrels, flutes, and harps, and they will be speaking in ecstasy. What does yours say, Katria?
That first what?
Six, yeah. Mine said they will be speaking in ecstasy.
And the spirit of Yah will come upon thee,
mm-hmm.
and thou shalt prophesy with them.
Okay.
Shall be turned into another man.
The spirit of Yah will grip you, and you will speak in ecstasy along with them. You will turn into another man.
When the spirit of Yah comes upon you, you definitely turn into another man, because that's what happened to Samson. The spirit
exactly.
of Yah came upon him, picked up the jawbone of an ass, and he conquered.
Mm-hmm.
He conquered
mm-hmm.
700 or 900 Philistine warriors.
Exactly.
So you become another person when the spirit of Yah comes upon you.
But did you notice one thing in this study up here, Cartrell? We were subjected by the Philistines.
Yes.
At that juncture, because the perfects are governors of the Philistines. So at this juncture, especially this location, was under subjection of the Philistines.
So because we had idols that we worshiped, the Canaanites,
mm-hmm.
the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Amorites, and the nations that were around us,
yeah.
the Most High allowed these nations to have dominion and dominance over us because
mm-hmm.
he wasn't listening to him.
Right. But you know what, as I always tell people in some studies, other nation gods work for them. They don't work for you.
That's right.
Okay?
So under the prophet Samuel, the judge, they had 20 years of peace from the Philistines.
Right.
Because of his actions.
Mm-hmm.
But there were still territories that they had dominion over.
Exactly. Point well made. Point well. Should be well taken.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you will become another man. Once these signs happen to you, Samuel is giving King Saul detailed information. Act when the occasion arises, for Yah is with you. After that, you are to go down to Gilgal ahead of me. I will come down to you to present burnt offering and offer sacrifices of well-being. Wait 7 days until I come to you and instruct you what you are to do. I mean, with all this detailed information, Katria, He should have had a propensity to listen to this man who told him, Yah has given you the kingship. But unfortunately, he didn't have that propensity, just like some of us today. And Saul
and it's not that the prophet Samuel wasn't known in the nation.
Right.
It's like dealing with a famous brother that everybody knows.
Everybody knows about.
Everybody guarantees mm-hmm. that what he's saying is true.
Right. But
not only does what everybody's saying that he says is true, he presented it to you. Before you even told him what you was doing, he told you looking for your father's ass.
Right.
And he said, don't even worry about that because they already found
him. Well,
so that took him up right there from the beginning.
Well, let me tell you something, Cartrell. Some of our brothers, man, and sisters, they're not trying to hear y'all word. And I'm going to tell you why. Because if they were, they would try to glean everything as King Saul should have been trying to glean everything he possibly could from the prophet Samuel. At that juncture, he should have been trying to find everything. And he should have told the seer, the prophet Samuel, hey, when you catch up with me 7 days, I need to know everything I need to know about everything I need to know about everything. For as Yah is concerned, for as his kingship that he gave me, I need to know the who, what, when, where, and how. Because I don't want to make a bad move. I don't want to lean to my own understanding.
And you know what, Siamso?
Yeah, go ahead.
We should be posing that same question to ourselves.
Exactly.
As a nation. Because
mm-hmm.
just like the Most High gave King Saul that title,
mm-hmm.
we are the priests of the nation. And we should find out the who, what, when, and how, and where.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's saying King Saul should have found out what he should have
exactly.
been doing.
Exactly.
We need to be just like King Saul.
Exactly.
The same criticism of him we give him, we should be looking at ourselves.
And
so, in the same position as King Saul. We
right.
need to reconnect with Yah and find mm-hmm. out what he requires of us to do right now.
You're right, Katria. And while you were speaking, Katria, I was reading verse 9 and 10. It tells me, the prophet knew that he needed a new thinker, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just like we tell everybody on the show, at the end of the show, get you a new thinker. Samuel knew something was amiss in King Saul. He knew something wasn't quite right with him. And he knew something wasn't quite right with him, just like y'all know something ain't quite right with some of us. And the prophet says, he says, as Saul turns around to lead Samuel, Yah give him another heart, a new thinker. And all those signs were fulfilled at that day. Everything that Yah said that happened. But Samuel knew that he needed a new thinker. And when they came there to the hill, he saw a band of prophets, as it was indicated by...
So, Yah, too.
Yeah.
You can tell when somebody's not really listening to you, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's what Samuel the prophet knew. He's not really listening to me.
Right.
And I gave him key information that he really needs to be focused on.
Mm-hmm.
But from my conversation with him, I can tell that he was not focused on what I was saying.
Uh-huh.
You could tell just by looking at people's body language, how to respond to what you're saying. And he already knew, because he's a prophet, that Samuel didn't really understand the message that he was giving him.
Well, going back up to verse 9, I misread that. Because it said, as Saul turned around to leave Samuel, Yah gave him another heart. Okay? Samuel didn't ask for him to get a new thinker. Yah gave him a new thinker. Although it didn't last very long, because Yah knew King Saul, just like all of us, need a new thinker, okay? Although it didn't last very long. And then thereupon he saw, going to verse 10, thereupon he saw a band of prophets coming toward him. It was indicated by Samuel. Thereupon the spirit of Yah gripped him, and he spoke in ecstasy. among them. When all who knew him previously saw him speaking in ecstasy together with the prophets, they knew, the people said to one another, what's really going on? What's happening? To the son of Kish, we know this boy. Is Saul too among the prophets? He a prophet? Has he turned to a prophet? But another person there spoke up and said, and who are your fathers? Who are their fathers? Thus the proverb arose, is Saul too among the prophets? And when he stopped speaking in ecstasy, he entered the shrine. Saul's uncle asked him and his servant, where did you go to look for the mules and jackasses? And he replied, when we saw that they were not to be found, we went to Samuel, the prophet, the seer. Tell me, said Saul's uncle, what did the prophet Samuel say to you? Saul answered his uncle, he just told me that the asses had been found. And here's the first deception. Here's the first deception of King Saul. His first act of deception. But see, his mind wasn't right. His uncle asked him, what did the prophet Samuel say to you? So he told us about the donkeys, but he didn't tell us anything of what Samuel had said about the kingship. He should have told his uncle the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help him, Yah. But he just told us about the asses. That's all. He didn't tell us nothing there. You could see then there was something not quite right with King Saul, okay? There was something not quite right with it. First quarter. I always said, Cartrell and fellow students, if you start off wrong, you end up wrong. Meaning, if you start down Apple Street, you're going to end up on Apple Street. You ain't going to end on Peace Street. You're going to end up on Apple Street. So if you start off crooked, you're going to end up crooked. Okay?
So we know that the prophet Samuel started off right.
Exactly.
Because when Eli asked him, tell me everything that the Most High told you, the good and the bad.
Right.
Yeah.
And he told him. He told Eli, even though it was detrimental to Eli, he told him. So, you know, you got to do what Yah tells you to do. You can't sugarcoat it sometimes. Samuel summoned the people to Yah at Mespha. And he said to them, thus said Yah, the Elohim of Israel, I bought Israel out of Mizraim, and I delivered you from the hands of the Mizraims and of all the kingdoms that oppress you.
So
today,
he's relating the last 400 years of history that they've been through.
Exactly.
Right.
And he tells them, but today, that's why, Cartrell, I don't argue, fuss, or fight with folk when it comes to Yah, because I don't take it personally. You know, I don't do that. Because you know why? Because Yah said it all. But today you have rejected your Elohim who delivered you from all your troubles and calamities. For you said, no, set up a king over us. Now station yourself before the Elohim by your tribes and clans. Samuel brought forth each of the tribes of Israel, and the lot indicated they cast lots, it was previously already set up by Yah. And the lot indicated the tribe of Benjamin. Then Samuel brought forth the tribe of Benjamin by historical ancestral house, which is your tribe. And the tribe of the Matrites were indicated. Then Saul, son of Kish, was indicated.
So wait a minute. All this was known already, right?
Yes, by Yah.
Not just by Yah, but by Samuel.
By Samuel.
And by King Saul himself.
Exactly.
So when they cast lots, right?
Right.
How did it come out?
But it says that. He said, man cast lots, but the direction is from Yah.
So when they cast lots, it still came out to Benjamin.
It still came out.
It still came out. but to King Saul.
Let me tell y'all something of a personal note about casting lots. Most everything when I'm at perturbed about what the answers are not that simple, I have a tendency to pray to Yah and I cast lots. And I have not been proven casting in error, in wrong lots. Because I pray to Yah. I said, you know, whatever it is, I said, Yah, I don't know. You know, because I don't know the hearts and minds of men. I only know, I halfway know what's in mine. I said, help me make the right decision. Or either I'm making a decision about a business matter. I always consult Yah, and I cast lots. I've never been led astray. I've never been led astray. So it does work. Men cast lots, but Yah provides the pathway.
So Yamsu.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm going to show you the difference between Western mentality.
Right.
Thinking about ancient fathers.
Right.
So when Westerners cast lots,
mm-hmm.
they say it's luck.
Right.
When our ancient fathers cast lots, they knew it was a decision of Yah.
Exactly. There's no such thing.
Not luck at all.
There's no such thing as luck.
Right.
From our Eastern concept. Man cast lot and Yah directs you.
So when they cast a lot,
mm-hmm. Right.
Which is supposed to be random.
Right.
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 Even before they cast lots, the decision was already made.
Exactly.
And when they cast lots, it only verified the decision that was already made.
Re-verified.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So that it works for me. I don't know what y'all do, but it works for Yam Suf. And I cast lots quite often, okay? Because I don't trust in Yam Suf. I wouldn't follow Yam Suf across the street. And who is Yam Suf? Oh, that's me. But I will follow Yah, okay? Today you have rejected Yah and who delivered you from all your troubles and calamities. For you said, no, set up a king over us. Now station yourself before Yah by your tribes and in your clans, in your ancestral houses. Samuel brought forth each of the tribes of Israel, and the lot indicated the tribe of Benjamin. Then Samuel brought forth the tribe of the Benjamites ancestral houses, and the ancestral houses of the Matrites were indicated. And then Saul, the son of Kish, was indicated by who? By Yah. But when they looked for him, I told you something strange about that fellow, Katriel, but when they looked for him, he was not to be found.
So wait a minute. Wait.
Right.
King Saul from the tribe of Benjamin.
Right.
Young man.
Right.
Tallest amongst Israel. Handsome.
Right.
Has the opportunity to be the king. The first king of Israel.
Right.
What he doing?
He hiding. Because one day either he's unsure about Yah or he's unsure about his own capabilities. One of the two, he's unsure about something. Because otherwise
So most brothers today, would they be running from that position?
Man, would they be running
to that position?
Man, they jump in the seat and knock Samuel over, man. Get to the <You're not playing. laughs>
So we took bad about our King Saul, our first king.
Right.
Because of the mistakes that he made.
Right.
But he wasn't looking for that position.
He was trying to hide
from the position.
Right. He was unsure. He knew it seems to suggest, infer, and imply, Katria, that he was unsure of him being capable to exert himself or to be totally comfortable with the position of being king of Israel. So
knowing our history from the 400 years we read, who would be comfortable with dealing with our people in that position?
I don't think King Dawood had too much problem with it.
Well, I know he didn't have problems because the Most High Spirit was on him.
Right.
So he had no fear. King David had no fear of nobody, no man on earth.
Right,
We talking about a man that had no fear of nobody but Yah.
Right. So
we talking about our 400 years.
Right, but you can see the difference, Cartrell, between the two men, the two kings. I mean, King Saul came into it with trepidation and unsure. King David, he didn't ask for the position, but even that, he wasn't going to take it. He wasn't going to put his hand on King Saul because he said, that's your anointing. I'm not going to put my hand on that man. You anointed him. Whatever you do,
you're getting ahead of the story. But we're talking about egos right now.
Right.
And the ego of King Saul, as bad as we're talking about him, the man did not want the job. He already knew from the prophet that the Most High chose him to be king. And he didn't tell his uncle what the prophet said. Now he hiding. Responsibility.
You misunderstand me, brother. I'm not talking about it. What I'm talking about, the difference of personality and his unsureness of his position. That's a fact right there. Why is he hiding for being the king? He's unsure of this position.
He wasn't looking for the position. You got to have a vision for the position. You have to have ambition.
Yeah.
And he didn't have that ambition. He looking for his father's donkeys. Now all of a sudden,
he's
stuck with the news. About to be king of the whole nation. He wasn't ready for that.
You're right. He wasn't ready for that. He's our first king. We got to give him that prop.
Had a king. Yeah. What does it mean to be king of this people who don't even listen to one another?
Who like to argue, fuss, and fight, sometimes kill one another. All right,
would you want to be in the position of King Saul? No. I would have been hiding too. I didn't ask for it. I don't want it. I don't give a damn what the people asking for. No, not me.
Okay. Let's continue on, Katja. We're almost done. They inquired of Yah again. Has anyone else come here? And Yah replied, Yah told him. Yes, he is hiding among the baggage.
You can't hide. Can you hide from Yah?
You can't hide from Yah. Yah evidently told Samuel. He's hiding among the baggage. So they ran over and brought him from there. And when he took his place among the people, he stood a head taller than all of them. He stood above the people. And Samuel said to the people, do you see the one whom Yah has chosen? There's none like him among the people. And all the people acclaimed him, shouting, long live the king. He tall, he handsome, he looking good. Samuel expounded to the people, there's rules and regulation that goes with the monarch. Rules and regulation of the Western culture. There's rules and regulation that Yah puts upon our king, quite different than the rules of the British and whatnot. And maybe, what was it, the boy from Greek, what's his name? The little fella running around conquering all the folks, the Romans or whatnot, quite different. And recorded them in a document, which he deposited before Yah. Samuel then sent the people back to their homes. Saul also went home to Gelbot, accompanied by upstanding men whose heart Yah had touched. He started out right, but then again, let us continue the story. He had some good upstanding young men, but some scoundrels said, how can this fellow save us? You know, you're going to always have the naysayers, you know. Who he think he is just because he a head tall. You know, he think he look good. How he going to save somebody? You know, that's the way they talk now, Katja. That's the way they talk about you and me on a real talk, real people show. Who that Katja? Who that Yosu? We don't know them. What they talking about? You know, man, look here. The attitude continues. I mean, we've dealt with these attitudes in the beginning. We've dealt with these attitudes in the middle, And we're dealing with these attitudes now. We got to get rid of these old bad attitudes, these old scoundrel-like minds. And everybody need to come together, men, women, brothers, young men, old men, and whatnot, and young women, old women, women and the brothers. We need to come together. We need a rude awakening. We need to burst the bubble of this nonsense, and we need to come together. We need to cry out to Yah so we can get the hell out of Harlem. Because things don't seem to be getting better, just like that song alluded to when it first played at the beginning of this study session. We need devotion, not devoted to your ego run amok, not devoted to you think you something special, but devoted to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. That's the kind of devotion, the thinker that we all need, Cartrell. And in conclusion, how can this fellow save us? So they scorned him and bought him no gift. But he pretended not to mind. Saul, King Saul pretended not to mind that they didn't bring him nothing. It bothered him because that's why they said he pretended not to mind. But that shows you something else about King Saul. King Saul let a little bit of stuff bother him sometime. And quite different from the kingship of King Daud. Well, Cartrell, my brother and friend, what is your commentary?
The people asked for a king, didn't they?
They certainly did.
So what you complaining about? Not satisfied?
Well, that's what we always do, Cartrell. We complain
so
when he gave
us a king that we asked for, and you still not satisfied.
Cartrell.
You got beast, and he was just appointed. He's the tallest. He's the handsomest. And we know that Benjamin was not a joke because he put fear in a whole freaking nation. So we got a Benjamite who's king, of which king you asked for, and you still not satisfied.
Cartrell. How soon you forget the nature of our people? They complain about the manna. They complain about y'all giving them fouls from the air. They complain about them not having water. They complain about everything and then some. So for all intents and purposes, Cartrell, our people hadn't changed very much. As a matter of fact, even today, they're just like our people. They are complaining with a stop sign. True be told.
So my compassion, my heart goes out to King Saul.
You're right.
Because he didn't ask for a position. He didn't want the position. He was ducking the position.
Right.
And yet we talk bad about King Saul. But from jump, you asked for him and you still didn't want him. How you asking for something and you still don't want it? What can I do for you, Israel? How can I satisfy you? That's what Yah is asking himself.
Well, only thing I'm going to do as far as our king is concerned, I'm going to tell the story. I'm not going to put my personal twist on the king because of the fact I hadn't walked in his shoes and he still was our king. And Yah made him our first king. And just like King Darwin said, I'm not going to raise my hand against the king. I'm not going to raise my verbiage against the king other than tell the story of the king. That's all I'm going to do.
So if the greatest king in Israel could honor our first king, why do we criticize him so bad when our greatest king doesn't disrespect our first king like we do?
Well, because we need a new thinker. And we need to know the whole story. And you need to study the whole story and take everything into context. If you take a bit here, a bit there, and you skip to the loo, my darling, well, you're totally confused about everything. But if you do an in-depth surgical study, you will understand some things. But if you don't do an in-depth surgical study, you'll go by what somebody told you. You do a skip to the loo, my darling. You'll be skipping all over the place. Instead of doing a surgical in-depth study, and then understand the mindset of our people, understand the mindset of our kings and whatnot, you will have a different perspective.
So I'm going to be like King David, our greatest king, the king that we honor and respect. If he honors our first king, King Saul, I'm going to honor him too.
I'm going to honor him, but I'm going to tell the story.
Story is already told.
Yeah, I'm going to tell the story. Well,
based on the fact that the story is told,
right,
a lot of our people don't honor or respect King Saul. But like I said, I'm going to be like King David, and I'm going to honor the first king of Israel.
And
so
I say
he wasn't perfect.
I'm going to honor the first king too, but
like,
I'm going to tell the story. I'm going to honor him too, but I'm going to tell the story completely, just like it was told to me by virtue of these ancient texts. I'm going to reiterate, re-echo the story. That's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to put any personal twist on it. I'm not going to say my likes or dislikes. Just tell the story. And I'm going to glean everything I can from the story so you can get a better perspective and understanding. And you can make your own decisions, whatnot. But you, we all honor our kings.
No, we don't.
We're not
all. We call him David. We call him Solomon. We call him Rehoboam. We call him Jeroboam. We don't honor our kings like other people honor their kings, whether they were good or evil. We don't honor our kings.
No, I call them. I call
I'm
them king.
Honor, just like King David honored King Saul. We chose not to kill him because he was Yah's anointed.
Right.
For me and my house, we honor King Saul with his flaws, his fallacies, and his shortcomings, because ain't none of us perfect. None of our kings were perfect. All of them had shortcomings and personality faults. So we have our kings. Other people, other nations honor their kings. As for me and my house, we're going to honor all of our kings. They deserve that title, and I will honor them before I honor men that do not honor our kings, who try to take titles for themselves. You trying to take a title for yourself, you just waking up, and you don't honor your ancient kings. So our ancient kings were very important. And the Most High chose our first king for a purpose. He wasn't looking for the job. Matter of fact, he was trying to hide from the job. And we you know, throw all kind of negativity on King Saul. But for me, I love my man, King Saul, because King Saul, he wasn't looking for the job. He wasn't vying for the job. The people put pressure on him, and he's the first king. And we need to honor him like King David did.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to move right along to the next study session then. That being said, if Cartrell's through with his commentary, I certainly am, and we're going to move right along. Cartrell, we're waiting on another song from the King Solomon.
Well, King Solomon didn't write songs. He wrote Proverbs.
Oh, Proverbs. Okay, Proverbs. My bad. King Dawood.
As many others published their prayers. And how many of our prayers are published to the Most High? Yeah.
Exactly.
And we give thanks that these men published their prayers, you know, to the Most High, yeah. But Proverbs is exclusive to King Solomon, who's considered the wisest man that ever lived. And, yeah, we throw the negativity. He had all these wives and whatever negativity we throw on him. But there's good and bad in everybody. And the good that he espoused can benefit all of us. So Proverbs 27, the wisdom of King Solomon, we give thanks to the Most High, our creator, for even allowing King David to have a son of this magnitude to where we connect with our creator. And even understand our own, you know, makeup, mentally, spiritually, and physically, because King Solomon addresses the spiritual side of us. We need psychologists, we need physicians, we need doctors. But who's addressing our spiritual side? And the King David, King Solomon, they both address our spiritual side, whether it be in Proverbs or whether it be in Psalms. So give thanks and praise to the Most High Yah for our King Solomon, who imparted us with wisdom. Proverbs 27. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So we know based on your actions, whether they be good or bad, you're going to reap what you sow. And you pray that you walk the path of righteousness for Yah's sake, that you will be blessed, you know, in the end of days. Let another man praise you, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. So we hear conceited people, people that are self-centered, always pumping themselves up. But you should let other people praise you for your attributes, for your qualities, for the gifts that Yah has given you as a righteous person. Don't be conceited and try to pump yourself up in the eyes of other people. It says, a stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. So a person that's a fool and they're angry in their foolishness is something that, you know, you want to stay away from. It says, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? We know Yah is envious of the better in the earth, and we have to be wary of serving other gods, because the Most High doesn't play with envy, and he makes us feel it. Shalom, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we are.
So open rebuke is better than secret love. So it's better to let your friends know their faults and fallacies and flaws than for you to love somebody, secret love. And I've been through that. You love somebody and can't express it, and you never really feel the fulfillment of a secret love that you have. You have to express the love when you feel it. So open rebuke is better than secret love. And if you never express yourself in your feelings for love for someone, you may miss out on an opportunity. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So your friend may be critical of your actions, and they may try to correct you, and it may hurt you because you're hearing it from your friend. You may not be able to take rebuke or criticism constructive from your friend, but you have to know that kisses from an enemy is deceitful. People that hate you may pump you up, make you feel good, but in their heart, they're really trying to destroy you. The full soul loatheth and honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bit of thing is sweet. So that means that if your soul is in pain and hurt, there's nothing that can correct it. Not even something that's sweet when they try to make you feel better. In an instance where you've lost a loved one, there's nothing that can really smooth that over. It says, but somebody that's hungry in their soul, that hasn't had anything in their life, it's like every bit of thing is sweet, which is why we're addicted to drugs and caught out there, you know, in the lives that we live. Because we don't have anything, because our souls are hungry for just the basics of life. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. So lost birds, they don't have bearings. Their life is disrupted. And a man that wandereth from his place, which is where we are, we don't even know where we belong. We're walking around with amnesia. We don't know our history, our ancestry, our culture, our history. So we're wandering, and we don't know our roots and our culture. Ointments and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. So good counsel is good. It's just like fresh frankincense, fragrances that you smell in the springtime. It revives your soul. So good counsel, good direction, people that are lost and have no direction, and you can point them in the direction where they have hope. It's like when you smell good fragrances, like in the springtime, smelling roses and tulips and flowers. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother afar off. So friends that are near can help you. A brother that's far off may not ever be able to get his help because, you know, you may have something going on in the family and you reach out to your family, they can't help you. But a friend that knows you and you're close with may be better than even your own relative. My son, be wise and make my heart glad that I may answer him that reproacheth me. So our children, we want them to be wise so that, you know, our friends won't have to talk about our children and the misdirections that they walk in. A prudent man foreseeth evil, the evil, and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So you can predict when people are involved in corrupt activity, and you can't be involved with it, and you have to avoid those things. But people that are simple-minded get involved in pretty much everything, in everybody's business, and then they are punished. They're caught up in being involved in things they shouldn't be involved in. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. So if you could save your brother from being vulnerable to hurting himself, that's what you need to do. You need to step in if strangers are trying to take advantage of your people and vouch for them and save them and be the first one to be the one that aids them. And take a pledge for him that is a strange, is for a strange woman. So you have to help our people avoid going to strange places. Strange woman could be a strange nation or a brother that's going into a strange woman's house. He that blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted as a curse to him. So you're trying to, like, front and talk about you love your friends, you want to bless everyone that's around you, and in your heart that's not what you're trying to really do, but you're just saying it and not meaning it. It's really a curse that should be counted to you because it's not really coming from your heart. A continual dropping in a very rainy day is a contentious woman are alike. So a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. It just don't stop. They don't know when to stop. They don't know how to stop. They just want to be contentious because they're not satisfied. Whosoever hideth her, hideth the wind and the ointment of his right hand, which betrayeth itself. So you can't hide that type of problem that you have in your house. It's going to always be exposed. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And that's how we help each other, because we don't know everything, and we have to help each other increase our wisdom, our knowledge, and understanding by what we know. If you know something that I don't know, you can help me increase my understanding and my wisdom and my knowledge. And if you don't know something that I know, I can help you increase your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. So there's protocols that are in life, and you can't just do what you want to do. Or you can't take the fruit of a fig tree when it's not ripe. You have to wait and be patient and understand what the protocols are. Just like being a servant to a master. You can't do what you want to do. You have to honor your master and obey what orders they give you. And the only master we have is Yah. It says, as in water, face answers to face, so the heart of man to man. So you can't hide from your reflection. When you look in water, you're going to see yourself. And there's a song that goes, you can't hide from yourself anywhere you go. There you are. So whatever problems you're having with yourself is going to be there And you have to answer to how you're living your life, what choices you make. As the finding pot of silver and the furnace of gold, so is a man to his praise. So Yah's measuring our hearts, our souls, and our service to him. And if you ain't on a high level of silver and gold in your service to him, your praise is measured. How much are you really praising Yah? Is it worth silver? Is it worth gold in your praise? Or is it just shallow? Though thou shouldest break a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. We know that fools won't depart from their foolishness. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. So we don't know nothing about the land. We haven't dealt with flocks. But if you're a herdsman, if you're a shepherd, you have to watch out for your flocks, whether it be lions or bears or whatever danger that is there to pose to your flocks. You have to be aware and be able to protect them so that you keep the value of what they are. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation. So nothing lasts forever. We know that men die, that kings come, kings go. And we have to know that our connection has to be with the Most High, Yah. The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered. And that's a cycle that is prepared by Yah from creation in order to benefit man. The hay is for the goat and the sheep and the herds and the flock. Then the grass for the cows and the sheep and the goat. And the herbs of the mountain are gathered for the service of man because we need them for healing. And these are the things that Yah has created for us, but we have to be in tune with his protocols with all these things. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of thy field. So we know that the more goats and lambs we have, the richer we are. But we don't understand that process because we go to the supermarket, we go to the bodegas, we live in cities, but we don't know the value of owning land, owning herd, owning crops, owning cattle. That's the real value to living because you don't need supermarkets, you don't need grocery stores if you have lambs, goats, cows, sheep, and land. You're self-sufficient. And that's how our fathers lived in ancient times. They were self-sufficient. It says, and thou shalt have goat enough for thy food, the food of thy household, and for the maintenance of thy maidens. So with goats, with sheep, with flocks, with herds, with cattle, with fields, with land, you don't need anything else. You can be self-sufficient. And we are taken away from this lifestyle because we live in cities. So this is the lifestyle that our ancient fathers lived with lambs, with goats, with sheep. The goats, the sheep, the lambs gave them food. They gave them milk. They gave them clothes. And we need to reintroduce ourselves to that lifestyle.
All right. Well, I guess it's by all indication, Cartier and fellow students, that's the most healthiest lifestyle because when you have control over your food sources, you have control over the quality of food that you eat. And your health is regulated with your food source. But when you don't have control over your food source, you're at the mercy of your masters and you're simply slaves, truth be told. And that's why we seem not only with these curses, but the continuation of the process with the poor diet we are existing by. We're not really living. We're really existing by these poor diets that we, this fast food and these bodegas and these 7-Elevens in our community where don't have a good quality of food that we live a much more healthier lifestyle. Well, Cartrell, you said that you had gave you thanks and praise. You don't have any more you'd like to give?
Just a thought that people eat bacon, egg, and cheese every day, right?
Exactly.
And how is that sustainable? How many pigs are there on the earth? How many cows are there on the earth? Well, you could go to McDonald's, Burger King, all these various other places. What is the meat that is being produced today? Is the same that we're talking about here in these scriptures, or there's something else going on? Because I know every restaurant, every supermarket, every, you know, place you go in America or worldwide, they're serving bacon, egg, and cheese and hamburgers, all this meat, every day worldwide. Is there enough meat to sustain that demand every day?
Well, you know, Cartrell, I really wouldn't know, but I know for us as a nation, I mean, we were sustainable. And so we were sustainable in ancient times. And there was a whole lot of us back then. I'm sure, whatever they're eating on, pork or whatnot, lobsters, the funny thing about that, you know, our people now think delicatessens. It's lobsters. Lobsters. Our women folk now in this Western culture. You take someone out to eat. What do you like to eat, sister? Take me to lobster. I need some lobster. The worst thing in the world we used to eat. So I really wouldn't know, Cartrell. And then again, but as far as our enemies are concerned, as far as the food source is concerned, anything is possible. You remember that movie Soy and Green? I know you remember when Charles and Hester played that movie Soy and Green. Soy and Green. And come to find out that what they were eating were people. And he had found that out. He said, it's the people! The people! So I wouldn't put past what our enemies do with food sources. But this I do know, Cartrell. When we are not in control of our food sources, we're at the mercy of our enemies, bottom line. And so whatever they provide for the dinner tables that these people and our people eat, and when you don't have control of your own food sources, you're at the mercy of your enemies. And they can feed you anything, and you wouldn't know one way or the other, because in fact, you wouldn't know what a lamb tastes like. You wouldn't know what a goat tastes like. You wouldn't know what a cow tastes like unless they told you. They tell you, they put a lamb chop for you. They put a pork chop for you. And you don't know nothing. Hey, that's lamb right there. Why is it lamb? Because I said so, and I eat it. Because when you're not in control of your food sources, anything goes, Cartrell and fellow students. And Cartrell, you're certainly right. We need to get back to really living again and having control some semblance of control over our food sources. We'd be much more healthier for it. Truth be told.
Yeah, because there's genetic engineering going on.
Exactly.
Cloning and all that kind of stuff. How do you know the meat we're not eating, is not cloned?
That's what I'm saying.
Or
you don't
clone meat.
You don't know, and that's why it's essential that we take some initiative. Just like Yemyahu is doing in Arizona, I believe, that he's located with his efforts trying to provide a Goshen for some brothers and sisters in Arizona, and other brothers and sisters elsewhere, universally speaking, are trying to get back.
It's not just the meat, because they started with the vegetables and the fruits with the cloning.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind having a food source. I like grapes. I like grapes. And so if I had the means, I'd have me a vineyard. I'd have me some stuff to eat on, you know, corn and wheat and all that. And I'd have me some goats and some sheep, some cows and whatnot, some horses and whatnot.
Chickens, turkeys.
Turkeys, pheasants. Mm-hmm. And I suggest that the food probably tastes a whole lot better too, Cottrell. A whole lot better. Well, Cottrell, fellow students, I'm going to just say I'd like to praise y'all for this radio show in order to put his word out. Brothers and sisters like Cottrell and Avion, New York City, and you too. I'm thankful to have this interaction, constructive and positive interaction, and to share knowledge coming from both ends, because when you share knowledge, you give and you take knowledge. It's just not a one-all thing that young people for Cartel has all this knowledge. It's a give-and-take situation. And with you fellow students out there, and our international students, we'd like to thank you for tuning in. But here's what we like to tell you with all certainty. And I'm going to tell you from Yom Suf point of view. All that we share you about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, this surgical approach, you have to do your own study. And see, Yom Suf is not your king. He's not your prince. He's not your seer, your prophet. Yom Suf is simply your brother that teaches the word of Yah. That's all Yom Suf. As a matter of fact, don't follow Yom Suf across the street, but follow the word of Yah everywhere, because you can't go wrong. And when Yom Suf veers to the left or right of Yah, don't pay no sense to Yom Suf, because his thinking is broken. But when Yom Suf stays on the track where Yah is concerned, yeah, come join in these studies. Let's study Yah together and not lean to our own understanding. Okay? So all praises to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and bless you listeners for tuning in to the show. And Cottrell and I don't know much, but we do know this for a certainty. You're getting ready to get out of here. You've been listening to the Real Talk for Real People show, a surgical approach to the word of Yah, a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. And it's all about relationships, all about maintaining those relationships. And sometimes it's about falling. Yeah, go ahead, brother.
It's family night. Anybody out there to get praise the Most High?
Well, you know, Abby, y'all gave her pretty well. I'm sorry, y'all. My thinker's broken. That's why I told you, don't follow me nowhere. Follow the word of Yah. This is family night.
Time in, huh?
Yeah, well, it's both time in. So this family night, y'all. Abby, y'all, you might want to set something up. Anybody else on the air would like to give some thanksgiving and praise to Yah, we highly recommend it, because it'll work good for you if you do so. And if you'd like to give a commentary, it's family night tonight. You family. I know you international listeners, y'all can't call in because y'all listening in through the internet. But you national, excuse me, callers, you can hit one on your phone. Hit one on your phone. I see you. It's like raising your hand. And I'm going to bring you on. You can give a commentary. You can give us some food for thought. You can correct us if we're wrong. Or either you can just say, hey, I'd like to thank y'all for something happened to me today or something happened to my family the other day or whatnot, and praise his holy name. Well, okay, we got a call in New York. Okay, area code 929. May the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, Mishpacha. Yes, indeed. I would like to be thankful praises to the Holy One of Creation all the time, every day, every hour, every minute. I give thanks for you guys as well. Keep up the good work. Keep spreading the word of the Most High. And I guess you will be blessed through that. But again,
yes,
I'm not a judge. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, ma'am. And look here, it's a long time no hear from you. We ain't heard from you in a while. Where you been?
Who we talking to?
I think it's Sister DeVos, right?
The Maria Yehuda Kotael. All right. So, yeah, I usually like to say to myself, you know?
Are you Sister Aisha?
Yeah. Shemaria Yehuda.
Oh.
You know?
Oh, okay. Okay. Katria, do you know Sister Jemiah?
Yes.
He does.
Okay, okay, okay. All right. Well, Sister,
Like I said, I give thanks and praises to the Holy One of creation, and I give thanks to you guys as well. With a peace and love, if you continue to spread the truth, and, you know, I appreciate love you guys. You know,
praise
God. Keep up the good. All right.
Praise Yah. Thank you, sister.
Right. I want to say Shabbat Shalom. I'm finished talking.
Okay. You want to give a shout out? Okay. You want to give a shout out? Well, we love our
people.
We love our people too, sister. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No,
finished. Okay. All right. Thank you, sister. Shalom.
Shalom.
All right, Katria. I guess Avia said all her Thanksgiving because she know minutes are passing by yesterday. And but thank you, Katria, and thank Avia for helping facilitate. Because I couldn't do it with you guys. Well, I could, but I wouldn't want to. Because it's just like Mose was informed, man, you can't do this by yourself. And so, you know, when things are like this, you can't do everything by yourself. That's why I said, two strings are better than one, three strings are better than two. So thank both of you for putting the word of Yah out and help facilitating these study sessions. And that being said, fellow students, may the Most High bless you. You've taken the word of Yah. Now it's up to you. Apply the word of Yah. Remember at the beginning of the show, I said it's like a medical examination. We examine dead people, and then we examine live people by reference of their interaction and the application of Yah's word in their life. So apply the word. So you can see the examination and evidence in your lives. It's just that simple. We make everything hard. And Yah's word not hard in any shape, form, or fashion. We just make it hard. Get it, study it, understand it, and apply it. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night. Thank you, Gottriel. Thank you, Abia. May the Most High bless you. Shalom. Keep on.